Breakfast Beat on 91.3 FM. Your voice in the morning.
So 7:42 is where we're at this morning, and we move along to our next feature. Many have been asking, you know, the question as to how are illegal cigarettes getting into South Africa? And as we know, South Africans are at their wit's end with cigarette bans, and the local dealers are cashing in on this desperation. Now, every day we see smokes being advertised on WhatsApp stories, Facebook, and with thousands of rands being charged for cartons. But the question remains, how are these cigarettes getting into our country? So we want to chat to former SARS lawyer Talita Snickers, or Snickers. She's the author of a new book called Dirty Tobacco, which we hope to get our hands on really soon. And she chats to us from Indonesia at the moment. Talita, good morning, and thank you for joining us.
Hi, good morning. It's great to be talking to you. Thanks.
Only a pleasure. Now, of course, the big question, how are illicit cigarettes still able to make their way into our local spaza shops and backyard dealers? Where is it all coming from?
Well, look, it will be coming from pretty much the same places that it was coming from before the lockdown. So we know that before the lockdown, approximately up to 35% of the local market actually consisted of illicit cigarettes anyway. All that's really changed now is that 100% of the market has essentially become illicit. So traditionally, if we go back a few years, we know that the vast majority of illicit cigarettes in South Africa would have come from Zimbabwe. So they would have been smuggled in from Zimbabwe, you know, either through what we call ant smuggling. So, you know, literally on someone's back who smuggles, you know, a bag of cigarette packs over the border, or in bigger containers, so maybe a 20 or a 40-foot container. But what we've seen over the last few years is that the supply line from Zimbabwe has actually been overtaken by local manufacturers in South Africa. Mm-hmm. And it's a dead easy system to cheat, right? Because you pay tax on all of the cigarette packs that are declared to SARS and that are meant for consumption in the country. So the easiest way to cheat that, if you were a local manufacturer, is one of two ways. The first way is you simply underdeclare the number of packs that you have made to SARS. So if you made 100 packs, you simply declare to SARS that you made a 50, you know, 50 packs, and that means you can sell the other 50 tax-free. And that's dead easy to do because SARS doesn't have effective production controls in place. So that's the first way a local manufacturer might do it. There's also a slightly more sophisticated way in which local manufacturers can do it. And that would be to declare to SARS that the cigarette packs are destined for the export market. And if they are exported, then of course local South African taxes and duties aren't payable on those packs of cigarettes. So they pretend that the packs are destined for the export market. But in fact, the packs either simply don't leave South Africa at all, or the packs leave South Africa, the truck makes a U-turn and immediately returns to the country. And so that's really where the illicit cigarettes on the market come from.
All right. Now, you know, everyone's probably wondering, you know, we're paying an exorbitant amount of money for those that are getting their cigarettes illegally. And, you know, one would think, you know, has the ban on the cigarette ban, the tobacco ban, made the business more lucrative? You know, are the profit margins really that high?
Well, you know, you have to remember that the manufacturing cost of a pack of cigarettes sits at around R1.50. So if you consider what you are paying for a packet of cigarettes now, it has absolutely become exorbitant. And so, of course, it's driven significant profit margins across the industry. You know, if we look historically before the lockdown, one of the reasons why illicit cigarettes are so popular with smugglers and with black market entrepreneurs is because of the high profit margins. So even before the lockdown, you would be making more profit on illicit cigarettes than you would be making on cocaine or on heroin or on smuggled guns. And of course, the risk if you are caught is so much lower than it would be with those other commodities.
Mm.
So before lockdown, you could have made 4,200% profit on a consignment of illicit cigarettes. After lockdown, if we look at the exorbitant prices that are being charged and considering, you know, that the cost of a pack sits at around R1.50 a pack, that leaves these guys with enormous untaxed profits.
Now, of course, you know, at this point in time, many of the favorites, you know, are not easily available. And we've seen, you know, some stranger cigarette brands being sold. Why is this?
Well, so again, historically, we know that in South Africa, the vast majority of cigarettes would have been legitimate legal brands. So they would have come from, you know, properly regulated factories, but simply not have had the tax paid on it. But of course, the moment you create an illicit market by banning a substance, you simply, you know, created an incentive for more illicit players to enter the market. And so we've definitely seen illicit packs coming more from China, coming more from other African countries, you know, and it's so easy to spot them because they tend to be branded in different languages. And as you say, they are brands that we don't necessarily see regularly. But it would simply be other role players that are taking advantage of the burgeoning illicit market.
Now, of course, you know, how do they go about getting past custom officials? You know, is it really that easy, or is there some sort of form of corruption therein?
Well, so SARS meets international standards in the sense that it scans approximately 3% of all containers that come into the country. And, you know, and that's pretty much on par with international norms. But that means if you were to smuggle 100 containers of illicit cigarettes into the country, unless SARS has really strong risk identification processes in place, you actually run the risk of only 3 of your 100 containers being detected. And you know, and even if 9 out of 10 of your illicit containers were seized by SARS, you would still be making enough of a profit for it to be a sustainable business venture. So there might well be corruption involved. You know, we know that in some countries the going rate to release a container of illicit cigarettes sits at around $10,000. And that's a lot of money if you're a customs officer. But even without having to corrupt anybody, with inspection rates sitting at around 3% of containers, it's actually dead easy to smuggle in an entire consignment.
Sure. Talisa, we have about 30 seconds to go. And finally, I want to ask, you know, what is South Africa's intelligence like in terms of actually cracking down on these cigarette networks?
Well, one of the challenges, I think, is that historically SARS had an extremely strong business intelligence capacity with really robust and rigorous risk rules that at the time, I think, allowed it to really identify and target the key players. So not the mules, not the smaller guys, but the actual kingpins sitting behind it. I fear that SARS may have lost much of that capacity. And we also know that there are these divisions between some elements of the State Security Agency and SARS, historically certainly, and that would not have helped the country's ability to identify the real kingpins behind it. But ultimately, it's a game of intelligence. Ultimately, it's a game of being able to identify the consignments that you need to target and the players that you need to target. So it really all comes down to having strong intelligence and information at your disposal.
Sure. Well, Talisa, it's certainly been a very insightful conversation, and I'm sure we could have gone on for a few more minutes. However, time is against us. But I want to thank you for coming on air and sharing with us this morning. We do appreciate your time. And that was Talita Snijkers, former SARS lawyer as well as author of Dirty Tobacco, speaking to us this morning live from Indonesia.